Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurse's arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Please rise as you are able for the gospel reading. Today it is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we start a new calendar year, we turn again to you and the brightness of your rising. On this Epiphany Sunday, we look again at the light of the world, who is Jesus the Christ. Help us, God, to make a new beginning in this new year and recommit ourselves to following Jesus as the light of the world. And Lord, today I lift up those who are in need of light, your light. I lift up the folks for whom we have been praying as a church family all week long. I pray especially today for peace and comfort for the Kirk family on the passing of Katie Kirk. And I give you thanks for the service that is to come next weekend for her. Lord, I lift up all who have health concerns this day, including George Grace and Dorothy Kinsler and others. I lift up all who are undergoing cancer treatments. I lift up Karen Engel, Beth Sellers, Megan Meaner, and so many others. Gracious God, I pray for Dave Costello on the passing of his father, Francis. And I lift up today all who are facing situations where your help is so desperately needed, whether those situations are about health or about finances or employment. Lord, I lift up furloughed workers, and I ask that you would be a provider to them and that you would show Glenmar how we can be part of your healing and part of your love. I ask these things in the name of Jesus, who is our light and our salvation. Amen. Let me be the first pastor today to say Happy New Year to everybody. As we come to the church for the first weekend of a new year, I wanted to do more than just have a New Year's resolution. Because those are pie crust promises, like Mary Poppins says, or is it The Sound of Music? Pie crust promises, right? Easily made, easily broken. Something different than just self-improvement for the sake of self-improvement or live your best life now. Surely God offers us something more than that. We wanted to explore ways that our God calls us to make a new beginning with God and with each other in a deeper way as people of faith. And to look at different areas of our life in 2019 where we might need to make a new start or just take the next faithful step. We're calling it a chance for a reboot. Now, I'm no computer expert, but sometimes when I go to reboot my computer, it looks like this. When things get tangled up and frozen, I try all the usual 48-year-old fixes, which are undo, pull down menu, and when I can't fix it myself, I try all those things, and then I look for Eric, because he's smarter than me. It's one of the many reasons that I married him, and if he's not around, I know that I can reboot the computer. I can control Alt-Delete, or if that doesn't work, just close my eyes and mash the power button. I find that I need to reboot when the normal things don't work anymore to fix it. When something has crashed, I need to reboot. And the new year is a great time for a reboot. And we have a God that is in the rebooting business. He's into second, third, and 67,000 chances. He's a God that over and over calls us to repent, which is sort of Bible for reboot, right? Turn around. Repent, return, recommit. In other words, reboot. Ching. I love that sound. It's so hopeful. When my computer makes that sound, I think, yes, it's going to be all right. Our God offers repeated chances for a reboot in Scripture. You may remember that before the earth was had really been here very long, God sent a flood, but God also saved Noah and his family and creation and set in the clouds a rainbow, a reboot of epic proportions. God's covenant with Abraham was a reboot, a new start in God's relationship with humanity. When I mentioned this to my husband, he goes, technically, you know, it wasn't a reboot. It was like a building of the original computer. Because the and I went, you're making things complicated. You're making things complicated. But it was a reboot, a new start with God. And then when Israel was in bondage in Egypt, and God freed them and gave them the law at Sinai, God created a people. It was a reboot. And then when they got to the promised land, Joshua led the people in recommitting to the covenant with God at Shechem. He described the whole history of God's faithfulness in case the people had forgotten in all those years. And then he said, now fear the Lord and serve him with faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates and back in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A reboot. And the people said, yes, we're into a reboot. We will serve the Lord. And after a while, they forgot. So when Israel had been sent into exile, for forgetting God, for worshiping other gods, for abusing their poor, God promised a return from exile, a reboot. God said to Jeremiah, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And those are just Old Testament reboots. The Gospels tell us that in Jesus, we get the best reboot of all. Because in Jesus, we get a chance to know God in more fullness. We know that in Jesus, we can always repent and turn from our sin and be forgiven. In Jesus, the kingdom of God is at hand. And we see everybody that got within the shouting distance of Jesus got at least a chance for a reboot. As Paul puts it, so now, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. With God, we always have the chance to become new, to make a new beginning, to take the next step in faith. So this week, on this Epiphany weekend, we'll turn to the Magi for a lesson in rebooting our faith. Matthew's account is the only gospel that talks about these foreign strangers. Matthew never explicitly says they're kings or that there were three of them. They are Magoi, which can mean magician, astrologer, or wise man in the Greek. We think there were three because of the three gifts mentioned. And we think they were kings because of references in Scripture, like in Isaiah, that kings would bring gifts to the Messiah. Isaiah even tells us, gold, frankincense, myrrh. We do know that they were not Jewish. They were from far away. They were from the east. And they had been studying the stars and looking to the heavens for signs, gathering data in the heavens, you know, taking Pilates, running on the treadmill, but always with an eye toward the skies, looking for signs of God's activity. And they see in the sky a bright star, an unusual celestial event, and they go to Jerusalem to investigate, because that is the direction that the star takes them, and because that's where the king already lives. They're going to the source because they're going to ask him, where is he that has been born king of the Jews? Where do you go to ask the question? The current king of the Jews. Maybe Herod had a kid. We don't know. They say, we saw his star at its rising, and we've come to worship him. Can you help us out, King Herod? When Herod heard this, he was not filled with joy to the world. He's heard rumors, one suspects, about a Messiah, probably spread by low-life shepherds and other riffraff like that. And such talk scares him. Herod knows that if God is up to a reboot, it won't work to his advantage. At least not in the way he thinks, right? The people who should have been the wise ones, the insiders, failed to notice the star at all. And when it's put on their radar, they respond by staying in their palaces and plotting to put out God's light. The outsiders, the foreigners, consulted the skies and got up and followed, not knowing all the details for sure, and made it all the way to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem on an outsider's faith. They didn't know the Torah, at least not like the insiders did. They made a long and arduous journey on a faith that they couldn't name or label. And in this way, don't they remind you of Abraham, who also came from the east, taking God's word for a lot of things? It's all very astounding, really, that these travelers from afar, from the fringes of the map, from the ends of the earth, as far as they were concerned, they are the ones that don't get counted on the Roman census, but they are the ones who are counted as wise. And they reacted to the coming of this new bright star Not with fear, but with determination, and in the end, with joy. And the gifts they bring signal who they think this child is: King and God and Savior or sacrifice. They find out there's a new king in town. I often wonder what it would have been like to go home with the Magi. What would their return home have been like? These wise men who were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, but to go home by another way. When they got there, did their homes look the same to them? I picture Christmas trees by the curb for recycling, the ornaments put away. The gifts the children wanted have already been loved half to death and are probably broken. The gifts they didn't want, still in the boxes, shoved over by the wall. I wonder what they thought about their world, having seen this child who would save not just the Jews, but save all of us from crazy places at the far edge of the map, like Elk Ridge and Ellicott City and Baltimore. It doesn't say what their New Year's resolutions were, but I think they found what they were looking for. It reminds me of the guy in the parable who found a treasure hidden in a field and sold all that he had and bought that field. That's a reboot. It reminds me of the women running from an empty tomb on Easter morning. It's a reboot. When you have seen God with us, very often you are not the same. This Messiah is not just for Herod, not just for the Jews, not just for the founding members of the church or the people who do all the work and are on all the teams, not just for them, but for all people, including people who don't talk or walk or vote or worship like we do, whoever we are. This Messiah will grow up and call all who will come to follow him, from a Bethlehem cradle to a Calvary cross to an Easter crown of glory. You know, the Christian journey is a lot like the one that the Magi took. Often it starts with a sort of decision. You made a decision to come here today. If I weren't a Methodist, I would bet you that you didn't come here thinking that you were heading to the Barnes and Noble and it came as a big surprise. For some, the decision, it sounds pretty epic. They decide to have Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. For others, Lord and Savior starts off as a little intimidating, a little hard to commit to at first. They commit to saying, I don't know what it is about that crazy church, but I'm going to go there at 9:30. And I'll try to hit 9:30, it might be 9:40, but I'm just going to visit on Sundays. And I don't know about this Lord and Savior business, I don't know anything about the Trinity, or what, but I'm coming to ask, where is the one who was born King of the Jews? I've seen something on the horizon. It might be a star. I haven't had my coffee yet. I'm not super sure. That's how it starts. And before you know it, very often, the Holy Spirit works within the heart. And we may find that King Herod's point of view about the way the world is and who's important and what our priorities should be, we may find that that point of view doesn't strike us as the way things are anymore. We may find that there's a new king in town. We may have an aha moment, even an epiphany. So it's a good time right now today to reboot our faith or take the next faithful step in our journey with God and recommit to following this child that was born in Bethlehem and paying him homage in 2019. How do we do this? Well, rebooting our faith is taking another look at our discipleship, our following of Jesus, our claiming of our identity as children of God. One way that we like to think about it around here is that the discipleship journey with Jesus affects many areas of our life. We try to just come here and worship and have that be all. But Jesus tends to bleed into other areas when we're not looking. And pretty soon we join the Habitat crew. And pretty soon, you know, we're praying more. And pretty soon we're sharing with our neighbors about this crazy church and this goofy new pastor they have. So as you look at this pathway, it may be that God is calling you to be more intentional about coming to worship. I figure if you get here before the benediction, it counts. It may be that you've been a part of Glenmar, but kind of on the edges. Maybe you don't have many friends here. You don't know people well. And you think, 2019 is the year that I'm going to find a small group. A group of friends that I can get to know who can pray for me. And this is the year that I'm going to go see Pastor Jen or Pastor Anna or Pastor Mandy and have them hook me up with a small group. Maybe this is the year that will take the extra step in service. You know? Check out that MLK service day. Or go on a mission trip. Maybe this is the year that we'll look at our giving and make intentional choices. I don't know. I don't know where you are on your journey. But I do know that God always calls us to take the next faithful step. Why is this important? We reboot our faith because as Christians, we are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We reboot our faith so that we can be the sort of church that leads all people to the manger from whatever crazy place they come from whatever winding road they take to get here. You know, people find their way to Jesus through many a winding road. I know folks who have found their way to Jesus through recovery groups, many of which meet at this church. I've watched people come here as visitors, and they'll say, "This is my first visit, and I'm not staying. You're very nice. I'm just visiting. I don't even know why I'm here, but I'm not staying, so don't get excited." And I say, "I'm so glad you're here. I hope I'll see you again." Some people... And then they come a few times and they'll go, "All right, so apparently I'm worshiping here, but I don't want to join." Okay, good. "Well, I'm glad you're here. We love you. We're glad." "Okay, well, I'm here every week. My kid's in the Sunday school and I'm in a Bible study, so I guess I could join, but I'm not leading anything." "Oh, I understand. Okay." People who come saying, "You know, I came here because I have a small child and I wanted to give him a Jesus vitamin. I wanted him to know the Lord. I wanted him to have Jesus. I'm okay, but him." And then they go, "You know what I found when I got here? I found a God who has a plan for my life too. I didn't know how bad I needed this church." Reboot. I hope you'll join us next week as we look into rebooting our health. Don't be scared. There'll be no kale. It's just that our bodies are gifts from God. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Y'all come. It won't hurt at all, I promise. I will give you this warning. A reboot very often makes you go home by another way. It makes you different than when you started. This kind of reboot makes foreigners from the east saddle up their camels. And it makes old Herod take a fistful of antacids. But it is what we do as the Church of Jesus Christ. So in 2019, do more than just resolve, church. Reboot.